Blog Talk Radio.
Amy, this is Karen. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Sorry about that. So we're going.
Hello?
Amy, I am so sorry. I have really apologized. Can you hear me okay?
Hi.
I'm in a hotel room. I'm traveling too right now, so I keep cutting off. So I really apologize.
Hi.
Everyday People will air the second Tuesday of every month at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So I'm looking forward to sharing with you. If you have an amazing story or know someone who does, please don't hesitate to go to TarenLamp.com and submit on the speaking events section of the site. You can also visit me on Twitter, Instagram, Pinterest at TarenLamp, and on Facebook at Facebook.com/IamTarenLamp. For those who may not know, I'm a proud wife to my husband, Ken, a mom to my fur babies, Miles and Max, and most of all, a survivor. I was diagnosed with heart disease at 3 weeks old. I was told I had one kidney and then diagnosed with a brain tumor at age 10. I'm a successful motivational speaker, author, international advocate, heart health coach, and heart disease survivor. I've been featured on radio, print, and television throughout the nation as I combine my positive messaging with my story of survival. As a heart disease survivor and founder of Self Confidence Wear It, my mission is to share my story and encourage you to be heart healthy. Again, for more information, or if you would like to start your own journey to a heart healthier you, go to TarenLamp.com and register for a complimentary 30-minute session, and you'll learn how to take control of your heart health. You can also grab a copy of my latest article, A Cat's Guide to Being Heart Healthy, 7 Secrets You Can Learn from Miles and Max. So, again, I apologize to my guest today. Like I said, I'm traveling, so I'm in a hotel room, and it's definitely been a little technical challenge over here. But today's guest is Amy Ostischer. She is a PTSD peer-to-peer specialist, an artist, author, and speaker for RAIN, writer for The Huffington Post, and award-winning health advocate, actress, and playwright. In 2012, she wrote, directed, and starred in a one-woman musical about her life. Gutless and Grateful, touring theaters across the country for 3 years, earning reviews and accolades since its Broadway award-nominated New York City debut. As a visual artist, her art has won accolades in multiple categories and in dozens of solo art shows. Her mixed media creativity workshops emphasize creativity as an essential mindset. Amy's beautiful detour has inspired her passionate desire to create and help others. As a health advocate, she's written feature articles for Phoenix Magazine and has spoken to hundreds of nurses and doctors, regional recipient of the Great Comeback Award. Her Washington Post and On Being with Krista Tippett, and is a regular contributor for numerous publications, including Elite Daily, The Mighty, Indie Chicks, and Career Girl Daily. Her story has appeared on The Today Show, CBS, Cosmopolitan, 17 Magazine, among others. Her passion for the arts as a means of healing and expression inspired her to devise storytelling workshops for Transformative Language Arts National Conference, the Eating Recovery Center Foundation, and the League for Advancement of New England Storytelling. Determined to bridge the gap of communication between wellness resources on college campuses and students, Amy devised storytelling programs, especially for colleagues in colleges and universities, to address the issue, and it's touring college campuses with her program, combining mental health advocacy, awareness, and Broadway theater. For more information on keynote presentations and workshops, signature talkbacks, you can contact Amy. She also offers private coaching to help others navigate their own beautiful detours. Amy, again, I'd like to apologize to you for all the disconnects.
That's fine. And
thank you so much. I know you're going to say, but you can visit her website. Amy, I'd like for you to be able to tell all where they can find you. But first, let's get started. So tell us a little bit about your story as a peer-to-peer specialist, and then how you kind of got into moving, developing your story and into the creative arts.
Well, okay, that's a long story. You know, I was completely healthy my entire life. I was, you know, musical theater, singing, dancing, theater ham. And then, you know, when I was 15, I had a voice teacher who I really, you know, trusted and looked up to. When I was 17, you know, he started molesting me, which completely, you know, shocked me, and I went numb, you know, in post-traumatic stress. You know, you can fight, flee, or freeze, and I froze. I don't even remember anything for a few months after, until I finally told my mother when I was 17, or when I just turned 18, but then, you know, 2 weeks later, I was in just a lot of pain, a really bad stomach ache that wouldn't go away. And so my father just said, you know, we should take her to the ER just for an x-ray to see what's going on. And actually, on my way there, my cheek actually perforated from so much pressure building up inside my abdomen. I had gotten sepsis, and the fluid had gone to all my internal organs. And if I had gotten to the emergency room, you know, seconds later, I would have died. And so when the surgeons cut into me, apparently my stomach just burst to the top of the operating room. There was so much pressure, and I needed 122 units of blood, and both my lungs collapsed, and I almost died. And I was in a coma for months. So when I woke up, the doctors told me that I had no stomach anymore. I couldn't eat or drink, and they didn't know when or if I'd ever be able to again. So I was really waking up in a completely parallel, you know, alternative universe. I was just in high school, and I just got my college acceptance letters, and I'd never really been sick. So this was really overwhelming. And I, you know, in my head, my biggest fear was maybe I just didn't understand the severity of the circumstances, but, oh, my God, I'm never going to do a show again. You know, I'm never going to make my mark on the world. And so I think I always had this feisty spirit in me, and it also helps that I had an amazing support system. I have amazing parents and three much older brothers who didn't question just giving up their lives for months and just literally moving into the ICU with me. And for me, creativity really became my lifeline. It was a way to find myself when my life and who I knew, you know, who I thought I knew, completely changed overnight. And it was a way I could find authorship over a world that was completely uncertain, because I didn't have a diagnosis. I didn't have a treatment plan or a cure. It was just, okay, you're like this until we find some way to surgically hook you back up, if we can. And so it turned into 27 surgeries in 6 of the past 10 years, unable to eat or drink a drop of fluid. But the worst in the 6 years was just the uncertainty of no timeline, just, okay, you're here till you're not. And then the worst part was actually dealing with this when I was out of the hospital and in the real world, which was for a good portion. Because in the hospital, you're in your nest and you're sort of protected from everyone living normal, happy lives. But to be home and you not even see people have an ICU for years was absolute torture. So my, you know, way of getting through was, you know, sort of just, you know, you fake it till you make it. And I just, you know, I really put myself out there. Looking back, I'm like, I can't believe I was doing all this with a bag on my neck. And I was bringing, you know, my bag of IV fluids to a yoga class and they were looking at me funny and I didn't even get why they were looking at me funny. You know, I just thought to myself, well, you know, I'm alive, so I'm going to still live. And because I sort of had that kind of outgoing, fearless, I maybe I'll call it shameless personality, I think that's really how I survived, you know, mentally. I think otherwise I would have gone insane. You know, a month after being discharged, I tried out for a local community theater, musical theater production. And I thought, you know, it'll be good for me to be in a community and a chorus and, you know, get to know people again. And I had bags all over. I couldn't even drink. And I ended up getting the lead and I could hardly walk. But, you know, that was a way I could just get out with people and feel like a person again. And so really I ended up just creating and creating. And I found, you know, I discovered art because of this, visual art. And I found it was a way to things that were too, like, painful and overwhelming for words. And so basically, I had always been into being creative, but because of what happened to me, you know, when something jolts you, you're forced to explore new avenues that you never would have really explored. So rather than just, you know, I got into one of the top musical theater universities, you know, studying and, you know, trying to make it for Broadway, and that was my life, I was really forced to, you explore my own, you know, internal creative resources and really discover things and discover people that I never would have met, that, you know, to the point where at this point, you know, I call it my beautiful detour, even with setbacks that have happened and setbacks that honestly are still happening. You know, my one-woman show that I've been taking across the country for four years, that was the culmination of, you know, to cope with not eating and drinking, I would literally lock myself in my room for years, all day, and just journal, just because it was too painful to be in the outside world, and I needed a distraction. So I would just type and type just to keep my fingers busy. And I ended up taking all those, and that became the script for my show, Gutless and Graceful. And then when I was on the Today Show, you know, they wrote a song for me. I wrote a song, and it turned into a musical that, you know, I'd never really talked about what had happened to me ever. And in 2012,
right,
I ended up just sharing everything for total strangers, which was a huge deal.
How did you, I mean, because I've been listening, I'm like, oh my gosh, you've gone through so, you know, you've gone through so much and you've taken it and you put it into your creative side. And you, it sounds like what you've had is you had that creative side and then you had the situation happen to you. And then you kind of joined the two and married the two. And then you got into more of the, you know, the visual arts component of it. And how much, Amy, of that has just been able to, you know, release you from some of the fears and some of the anxieties that you had, or,
well,
you know, during
say,
that
like,
first
it's
time?
It's not like, oh, I discovered this. I would describe it more like I was forced to discover these things because, you know, the biggest question I was getting is, well, how did you make it through? I think when, you know, it's amazing what the human spirit is capable of when, you know, life is sort of flashing before them. But, you know, I believe, you know, hope is not this, like, inspirational thing that just comes to you, you know, on the top of a mountain with the sun setting. You know, hope is a job, and hope sometimes can just be lying to yourself, you know, just, like, until things get better. And so I think, you
take
know.
Take it till you make it kind of thing, right?
Yeah, like, I subconsciously, like, I knew I could survive. Like, that wasn't, like, an option in my head. So I think naturally I just went to what I had used. And it really became, you know, it not just a pastime or way to express myself. It became literally my lifeline. where created without creative word, like I would get panic attacks if I didn't leave the house with my journal because that was my way of getting through. You know, I really clung to it. And I think, you know, I never got therapy, you know, anything like that because first of all, obviously the first thing you would want to do is see a therapist after all this. So when I got out of the hospital, my parents took me to a therapist. And the therapist goes to my mother and she goes, you know, she can't eat or drink. You know, I'm not going to torture her by sitting in a room and talking about her feelings. And he was absolutely right. You know, but, you know, what I didn't realize and what I could never anticipate is years later when I could finally eat, you know, I thought, oh, I'll be happy and I can finally eat and things are great. What I didn't realize was, you know, as you know, food and eating is such a emotional human thing that I was numb all this time to get through. But then all of a sudden, once I start eating, oh my God, I'm remembering my abuse. I'm remembering pain, frustration. You know, that was when I really started to need to really, you know, reflect on all this and process that. And that was when the creativity really saved me anymore, you know, even more because that was how I could find safe ways to be with my feelings and not repress them because, you know, like numbing out from our feelings never gets us anywhere. But it was a safe way, you know, where I could draw my tears, I could draw my sadness, and it was a way I could be with it in a safe way that it was transformed into something, into the next thing. And that's how,
so how have like people responded to your works? I mean, I'm sure there's some people that can relate, some people that, you know, are maybe in their own state of situation.
People always don't know how they'll relate to my story at first. But then when they see my work, they realize, like, ultimately, you know, although what I went through was extreme, you know, what I experienced, you know, the emotions, the frustration, the anger, the uncertainty, those are all things we experience, which is why I started my Love My Detour movement, which is basically the idea that this was a detour in my life. You know, we all have detours, whether it's a life-altering trauma or something we don't expect. And I think that's why creativity is so great, too. It's the great equalizer, you know? It's a way for us all to express these universal things that we're all going to go through one time or another in a way that we can relate. And that is why I, you know, I looked at the premiere of my show as the first time I really started to feel normal. Because suddenly I was telling my story in a way, you know, not for like the Today Show or, you know, on the news, but I was telling my story through theater, you know, which by nature is a medium that we respond to emotionally and we can, you know, put ourselves in. And to get people coming up to me and saying not only, oh, wow, your story is so amazing, but wow, you know, it really reminded me I'm going through a tough time, you know, to get that, that was the best reward I could have ever gotten. And that is actually what inspired me to turn my show into what it is now, which is like a mental health college, you know, advocacy program for sexual assault. I do it for organizations and I just did it for, as a benefit for a big, you know, eating recovery center. I'm doing it for the Mental Health America conference in D.C. in June. So all these things, you know, opened up because I found that, wow, this isn't just like a crazy freak story. This is something that is a testament to the human spirit that we all have.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's part of what I want this show to do, Everyday People, Amazing Stories. You said a couple of things. You know, we all have something, right? And I think my mission has been with Everyday People, Amazing Stories is to talk to people like yourself. Because there's somebody that can relate. There's somebody that can relate to your story. And there's somebody that can find healing in what you do.
Yeah. That's why it's so important to share your story. You know, the biggest comment I get a lot is, well, you know, I haven't really been through anything. You know, that's not true. You never know who is out there that needs to hear what you have. I think everyone has a story that is more than worth telling.
I do, too, and I think that people, like I said, everyone has a story that's worth telling, and I also think that people have choices in our lives. We can, you know, do one of two things. When trauma happens to us, we can fold, right, and go under, or we can work with ourselves and work with others to develop that story and heal, you know? From a superficial, I'm just thinking even about today and about this program, you know, I'm just thinking at first we had technical challenges, you know, getting on. And it could have been easy for us to say, you know what, let's just do this another time, or let's just, you know, reschedule something, or let's just fold. But that's not the type of people that we've developed into being. We're going to say, no, we're going to keep trying to get back on this line. We're going to keep doing it, keep getting back on the horse, and get your story out. You know, my mission is to always make sure that people hear this and they can relate to my guest on here. And a lot of people can relate to you in so many different ways. And they can relate to you, whether it be the creative side, they can relate to you, whether it be some of your struggles that you may have, or, you know, you mentioned in the Eating Recovery Center Foundation. I mean, there's so many people who have, you know, dreams and missions to come out of that on the other side. And I'm sure you've met a multitude of people, to your point, of whether it's survivors or healthcare professionals, can say, man, I can relate. Or even they don't say it, and they can relate just silently to themselves.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
You know, like detours. I like the title, The Beautiful Detour, because our lives are a series of beautiful detours, I think. And
I started creating this movement of my detour because, you know, naturally I always called it, like, you know, this was a detour in my life. Once I started to see that, okay, it wasn't the life I planned. But, you know, sometimes when you're traveling, you come across a road that, you know, you don't expect to take, but because of that, you know, because you took it, oh, you know, I would have never discovered this. And, oh, that's because I, you know, I would have never met these people because of that detour. And so I started thinking, and I said, wow, if we could get everyone to start seeing unexpected events that are like, oh, man, I didn't need this right now. And, well, you know, look at this great opportunity. Then we can really be grateful for those little, like, hiccups in our lives. So that's why I started this kind of Love My Detour. You know, I started with the hashtag that I started saying, you know, if you've had something that, you know, happened in your life that you don't expect, you know, tag it with Love My Detour. And then slowly it turned into people that are sharing their stories with me. And so once a week on my site, I call it Why Not Wednesday, where I have people and I call them detourists. You know, you're a detourist if you've had a detour in your life and you stay curious. You know, you don't freeze in your tracks, but you show up. And you're willing to see where that detour may lead. And the stories that I'm getting, you know, they're an honor for me to publish, because you know, people are really opening up about, you know, they don't have to be, you know, serious traumatic things, but just, you know what, like, this happened, I didn't expect it, but hey, because of that, look where I am now. And the thing is that the thing about being a detourist is you don't always have to know right now what the bigger meaning is. You know, being a detourist is not, oh, this happened in my life and I didn't like it, but because of that, I know where I am today. You know, being a detourist is just really the willingness to show up. And you might mm-hmm. not see any kind of clearing yet, but it's just, you know, putting one step in front of the other. And even if you're too scared to do that, at least just, you know, don't run the other way and scream. Being a detourist is really just being open and saying, okay, you know, this isn't what I expect, but I'm still here. And I'm going to be open to that. And honestly, you know, in my life right now, that's where I am. I have, you know, my 27th surgery was a total disaster, and my wound still didn't heal, and that was 4 years ago. And, you know, I have really frustrating days. Lately, they're more frustrating than not. But I'm here, and I'm still going. And I'm hoping that one day, like, I will find that clearing with this, because even if we found the meaning of our detour, you know, we'll get detours from there. You know, we have many detours going on at once, and it's a lot to manage, which is why I think the best thing we can do is just show up and then sort of let the road
yes.
unfold from there.
And I think that's a good thing. The best thing we can do, folks, is just show up. And I think sometimes that's the hardest thing we can do, too. But once you do it, life, just kind of to your point, as we're all detourists in our own little way, life will show up for us once we show up. We've got about 4 minutes left, and I want to make sure that people understand how they can find you or when the next time they can see you, and a little bit about, you've kind of mentioned your campaign, so I want to get that in real quick in the last 4 minutes.
Yes.
If
okay,
people
want so
to find you,
website.
Where should they go?
Yes. There's my website, amyoes.com, and that's everything. You can learn about why Love My Detour by clicking on For Detours. I would love to hear your stories. So definitely, if you have a story that you want to share, and I totally think you should, just send me a note. Also, my one-woman show, if you're interested in that, you can click on Gutless and Grateful. I'm touring right now. I'm going everywhere, and I'm booking myself. Hey, I'd love to come to you. And it's super easy. You don't have to pay for me to fly out there. We'll figure it out. Just send me a note. And anyone for New York City, I'll actually be performing this Friday. I'm also giving a TED Talk next month. But all that's on my site, and you can find out there. AMYOES.com. I'm sure you can link to it or something.
Yes, and we're definitely. For everyone out there, you'll be able, Amy, if you don't mind, when you get your TED Talk, and definitely I can put your site on my Facebook page as well. So I want people to hear about you and learn from you. And what final thoughts in the last 3 minutes do you have about someone there who's on the verge of wanting to share their story?
On the verge. You know what? Sometimes you're not always ready to share yet, and that's okay. I would say if you're on the verge, just read a lot of other people's stories, because I feel like even if we're not ready to share, we can learn from the stories of others, and that just plants the seed for when we're ready to share. It took me 10 years before I could really start talking about this. So sometimes you're just not there yet. I feel like no one can be pushed, and it has to come organically. So I'd say read stories. Not real people's stories, read children's books. There's a journey in all of those books that I think we all have something to learn from.
I totally agree. I think that's good advice. If you're not there, you're not there. And I think you made a good point to read other people's stories again. I think that's something that I started doing, is I started to share my survivor story a little bit. There was a long time too, Amy, that I wasn't there. And I think to your point, which is why I want people to, which is again why I do this.
Yeah. Here's the essential part. It's okay if you don't share your story, but you still have to know that your story is worth sharing. Because, sometimes that brings people back, So it's okay, but know that you've got to share, and the world is waiting to hear it, and we could all learn from it.
So you don't have to be there, but just know the important, you still have a story. And I think, that's vital. I really think that's vital. Well, Amy, I congratulate you. I hope that, I know that we're going to stay in touch. I hope that your show is successful. I can't wait to hear all about it as you continue touring. And again, you guys, if you want to reach Amy, please go to amyoes.com. Please check out her hashtag #LoveMyDetour. And for sure, if you have any questions for her, reach out to her. And if you'd like her to come perform in a city near you, I'm sure she's open, willing, and waiting. So I really appreciate it, Amy. I will reach out to you soon. And again, thank you so much for everyone listening. And thank you, Amy. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Karen.